As we've just heard, a peacekeeping force is critical to any settlement. Bill Dirch is an expert on peacekeeping operations at the Henry L. Stimson Center. He warns that conditions have to be right before sending in a multinational force.
Any peacekeeping force that's attempted to be put into southern Lebanon without the consent of Hezbollah and outside the context of a large-scale peace agreement is going to be at risk of the same fate as the multinational force in Lebanon in 1983.
That force became the target of a suicide bombing. 241 Americans were killed in the attack. If a peacekeeping force is going to succeed this time, Dirch says the larger political and diplomatic problems in the region have to be solved first.
Well, I think I'd step back and see this action in the context of the larger Middle East conflict, including the Israeli-Palestinian situation. And the reason you need to do that, in part, is to draw in the other states in the region. The Iranians and the Syrians back Hezbollah. It would be very helpful if they were willing to cut off support in the context of an agreement. So there are ways in which if you broaden this out, it becomes a less hard thing to do than if you focus just on the current head-to-head fight between Hezbollah and Israel.
That said, are there things Israel and Hezbollah would each need to do?
Sure. I mean, Hezbollah would need to agree to quit shelling Israel and to some extent agree to containment by the international force, perhaps disarmament with security guarantees. Israel would have to agree to withdraw from southern Lebanon and leave its security without proxy forces behind, as it did before, leave its security to this force, which means that force would have to be fairly robust. And we're talking, I would guess, 15 to 20,000 well-armed troops with rules of engagement, with a Security Council resolution that authorizes that force and gives them that authority to use all necessary means to implement their mandate, which is to secure the border and prevent cross-border attacks. Israel was not very keen on the UN force that came in 1978, didn't ever really agree to it and always just brushed it aside when it needed to for its own security purposes. That would have to change. Israel would have to promise to honor the border and the agreement. It would do so probably as long as that force was doing its job well.
This is called an international peacekeeping force. So who might be in it?
We talking willingness to be in it or who should be in it?
Both.
Okay. Well, let's talk about who should. I would think the United States, France, the UK, if they can spare some time, because they're very stretched in other places. Probably the Turks, because they do have friendly relations with Israel. They are near neighbors. They're a moderate Islamic state, possibly some of the more moderate Arab states that might be willing to join in a force, provided they buy into the basic deal that the force is trying to implement.
The U.S. has not expressed interest in being part of this force. Other countries have been reluctant. Any guesses as to what the ultimate makeup may actually be?
No, I really wouldn't want to hazard a guess. My theory along for a long time on coalitions, you know, if they're not a European Union coalition, if the big dog is not playing, all the other puppies are reluctant to join the fray. And so I think there's a big demonstration effect if there's a UN presence, a United States presence, even if the United States is not taking a leading role. We're saying, okay, look, guys, we're not only willing to share the limelight on the political settlement and struggle and diplomacy, we're willing to share some of the risks on the ground.
Bill Dirch is co-director of the Future of Peace Operations Program at the Henry L. Stimson Center in Washington, D.C.